Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 1st of November, recording at 8:30 p.m. And that's GMT. Okay, first the highlights. Asian stock markets responding well, not surprisingly, to the strength, follow-through strength on Wall Street yesterday. European stock markets mostly taking a breather. Stockholm, the UK and particularly the Swiss market being the main exceptions. Government bonds drifting lower in here today. Dollar, pretty well unchanged in here today. Well, maybe now a little bit steadier, a little bit steadier here. Precious metals, second day of profit taking here. Oil, pretty much unchanged. Natural gas, weaker but partial recovery here today. Okay, let's go back and start now with the stock market cycle. The big drama, of course, last month was first the sell-off and then the lows that Wall Street started to put in around mid second half of October and the upward dynamics. Triggering some rallies. Now today we're seeing a little bit of profit taking, as I mentioned, on Wall Street, and that's pulled the S&P as I speak back to 1203. As long as it doesn't go much below that 1200 level, it shouldn't raise too many eyebrows. The important level, really, as I keep emphasizing, is that October low down around 1170. I do not want to see those taken out, and based on the upward dynamics that we've seen recently, there's a reasonably good chance that those lows will continue to hold for the short term and quite possibly the medium term. So that best case scenario that I have mentioned on a number of occasions, and that would be that the October lows hold and that the better performing stock markets push to new highs, and that we see that's kind of steady ranging to a higher bias carrying on into the first quarter of 2006. Thereafter, I expect to see a fairly significant correction leading to a terrific buying opportunity for 2007, 2008. But there's an email on the site today, technically based, which says I'm a year too early in those expectations. In other words, it's looking for a good 2006 and a weaker 2007. Though I would mention that the third year of a presidential cycle has historically, that's 2007, historically the most bullish, whereas the second year of a US presidential cycle, 2006, is historically the most bearish. But can it be different this time? Yes, of course anything can happen, which is why I'll continue to monitor the charts very closely on your behalf, and I urge you to follow them on your own behalf by looking at everything that we've got of interest to you that's in the library. Okay, now, what if we don't get the best case scenario? Well, the worst thing that could happen, of course, would be that Wall Street turns right around and produces a downward dynamic or two and goes down through those October lows. Then the bigger correction, I would think, comes sooner rather than later. But let's take it here a day at a time. And at this stage, I'm glad that I held on to my longs. I didn't disturb any of my investment portfolio positions, and I'm quite nervous about my hedge short positions. Even though those are hedge shorts, I don't want to be offsetting the profits that I would hope to make if we have reasonably steady conditions for a while longer. And I was came very close to covering them all in here today, and then held off. But certainly, If we get Wall Street closing up again for a third day here, I will be out of the short positions tomorrow. Okay. What else can I taking I would be taking losses in those positions, of course. What else can I mention here? Resources stocks. These are looking steadier. I'm in here for the most part. Now, certainly the ones that interest me the most at this stage, and there are a couple of reports that will mention these on the site. Well, at least one. Then one of those, I believe it's the CSFB report. Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton, and read the comments on the upgrades that were issued in terms of China's GDP growth and the demand for metals, particularly copper, and the fact that copper shares seem to be discounting considerably lower prices. It was a fascinating report. Okay. Government bonds, I maintain that they would require a significant stock market sell-off to get a decent technical rally. I find the fact that so many people are really quite relaxed to actually bullish about long-dated government bonds a bit alarming, but that is consistent with the early stages of a new secular bear market when bond prices, long-dated government bond prices, have not yet even completed their predictably long-ranging top formation, predictably long-ranging because of all the deflation talk. And also, we, what was the other factor? Gone completely out of my empty head here. So, again, I was going to say the base building process hasn't been completed yet for the long-dated government bond yields. Now, what about this inflation thing? This is a subject I'll be returning to over and over again, not that I ever left it, but I maintain that this is a new inflationary cycle. Just consider all that vast money printing that's taken place. Consider the asset bubbles that we see around the globe. Consider the vast amount of government borrowing that's taking place, the huge buildup of government debt. As I've said over and over again, when governments are yielding 50-year bonds, and there are the few of them doing that, do you think that they would actually be doing so if they didn't feel that bonds were overvalued and that yields were likely to rise over the long term? Of course they wouldn't. And I think they're absolutely right. I wouldn't touch the government bonds, and I expect to have a great shorting opportunity sometime in probably 2006, when in response to a stock market sell-off, the deflation fears are revived again, and we get a smartish run-up in the bond prices. Now, don't expect CPI inflation figures or PPI inflation figures to take off anytime soon. I certainly don't. What I think we're most likely to see are bouts of stagflation from time to time, and there's quite a good chance that we might see some stagflation next year. But we'll see. Long way to go before then. Moving on to the currencies, the Fed came out and predictably raised the interest rate by a quarter of a point. No language changed. Now, there are two more opportunities for the Fed to raise rates. The federal funds rate is currently at 4%, and forecasts range to the lower side of these forecasts. I'm talking about consensus opinion now. In the 4.5 to 5 level sometime next year. At least those are the forecasts that I've seen. Now, the point that interests me most is that I would expect some kind of combined statement, or Greenspan saying that he was also speaking after consultation with Bernanke prior to Greenspan's last meeting and retirement at the end of January. Now, the reason for that is if Greenspan said absolutely nothing, and let's say that we get a couple of more interest rate hikes, then he would leave Bernanke in a bit of an uncomfortable position there. If Bernanke didn't then go on and raise rates further in the post-January 2006 period, then certainly there would be a number of people who would say, "Well, wait a minute, is he soft on inflation and so on?" So I would expect some kind of combined statement overall, and possibly a change in the policy stance in January. We'll see. It'll be interesting if that does happen. But meanwhile, expectations for higher interest rates will continue to, if not push the dollar higher. I doubt it's going to push the dollar much higher because I think it's pretty well in the market. But it does continue to cushion the U.S. dollar's downside risk. But I do think that we are going to see a fairly significant downward move by the U.S. dollar. It'll probably be at some stage next year. Okay, moving on to the precious metals. I think that the money that was going to scare early has come out in all probability over the last couple of days. I guess I've got to lump myself in that category, but I had some pretty big leverage for me in gold and silver, and thinking that right, there's a chance we could get a breakout and run on the upside short term. Well, it wasn't to be. At least not in the not last week and not this week. So I chopped back those positions, but I am still represented there. I am still hugely bullish of that sector for the long term, and I would be surprised if we had all that much additional downside follow through. We may not see any additional downside follow through, but if we do, I will be looking to nip back in there and increase my long positions once again. I didn't sell my platinum position. Incidentally, it's not that big, but my main action, I still have a fair amount of gold and a fair amount of silver, but to say I did pare back from very, very large positions for me. Okay, looking at the energy sector, we're still in this medium-term correction here for both the petroleum contracts and natural gas. And the natural gas, though, looks overextended, but I will be, I think, pleasantly surprised and relieved if I get a chance to take a profit on both my positions. As I said, I'm probably chancing my luck or living dangerously, or words to that effect in that sector. Cocoa up a little bit today, but still basically ranging sideways. The grain and bean complex looking a little bit steadier. Some of that selling pressure that we have seen in gold and silver spilled over into the industrial metals today. That's hardly surprising. I suppose I do not expect the selling pressure to last very long. Again, look at that report talking about the demand and the stronger growth expected from China. Okay, folks, that's it. Another fairly dramatic day in here. Don't know if I can stand much more of this excitement. All the best.